Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
So, we're less than a week out from the big day, the big red man coming down the chimney and all the gifts. Are your gifts wrapped? Are they bought? Or maybe you're like me and you do 90% of your shopping during Thanksgiving week and then you think you're ahead of the game, so you just completely stop, which is exactly what I do. And then at the last minute, I realize, oh my gosh, I forgot this person, this person, and that person. And or this is a better thing that I actually did this weekend. I went shopping and I got myself all geared up to go out into the malls. And I go shopping, I see something, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's a really good idea for a gift. And then I go on Amazon and realize that it's $5 to $10 cheaper than the one I'm standing in front of. So I began to just make a list of everything that I wanted to buy, and then I would check Amazon while I was standing at the register. I wound up going home last night and just buying everything on Amazon because I was like, well, why should I spend more? Amazon, I have Prime. They'll send it to me for free and I pay no shipping. So why not save the money? And that's exactly what I did. So I go all the way to the mall only to discover that what I wanted to buy. And then once I decided what I wanted to buy, I just go on Amazon and I buy it and it shows up at my doorstep. Now I'm just praying that it all shows up on my doorstep by Thursday night so that I can wrap it. So there's the strategy, the old go to the store, find it on Amazon, go home and order it, which I could have done probably at the beginning of December and been all that more ready for the holiday season. But I'm excited. All my kids are home. I'm hoping that you're going to be surrounded by your children and your loved ones this holiday season. There's nothing like your kids being home. Suddenly there's noise in the house and all the food is getting eaten out of the refrigerator and people are complaining. And you know what? When they're 19, 20 years old and they do it, you are just so grateful for all that noise being back in your house that you don't even care that it's happening. Someone asked me, when will the fights break out among your children? And I have to tell you, it will happen the first time that my boys have to take a shower after my girls have been in the shower. Because my girls have long hair. The boys hate any kind of hair in the bathroom. And there will be a fight as soon as the first showers happen in my house. And you know what? I don't care because I'm just happy that they're all home for the holidays. And I'm happy that you're here with us on Mom Talk Radio because we have a very awesome show that my team has put together. We're going to be talking with Jenny Long, who wrote the book Expect a Miracle, A Mom's Tale of Brotherly Love, Faith, and Race. That changed a family's life. It's her first book, and she's going to be joining us when we return. So don't go anywhere. When we get back, Jenny Long is going to join us here on Mom Talk Radio.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
I am excited to have a mom with us who has just completed not only her first book, but she's also completed triathlons together with a team called Team Long Brothers. She's been doing that since 2011, but then her new book has just come out. She is Jenny Long. She's the mother of two boys, 10 and 12. And one of her boys, Connor, saw her triathlons as a way for him to connect with his brother who suffered from spastic cerebral palsy and has completed several triathlons and Iron Kid triathlons as well. I can't do those because I don't like the swimming, but now she has authored a new book, Expect a Miracle, A Mother's Tale of Brotherly Love, Faith, and the Race That Changed a Family's Life. So welcome, Jenny Long, to Mom Talk Radio. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Thanks for having me.
I love the fact that you do these races with your family, because I think that it just, number one, is a great example for them and also brings the family together. I personally can, I'm a marathoner. I cannot do the swimming part. So I commend you that you're a swimmer as well. But tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, actually, the book, I wanted to write a book and just let everybody kind of in on our family's journey, and how, you know, we found our miracle through the boys racing. And it didn't start off, you know, our family's journey was definitely not an easy one. Even from the beginning of my childhood, I went through lots of different issues and had to face adversity at a young age. And then being diagnosed, my son being diagnosed with a lifelong disability, that was a big deal breaker. And I thought things were just kind of, you know, doomed. I grieved my son. And then when my oldest son, Connor, wanted to do a race with his brother, Caden, it really just opened up so many doors in our family for so many positive things. And I mean, today things will, you know, are just so different in such a good light. So I wanted to just share that with the world so others can see things.
Right. So how has it changed your family?
It's definitely, number one, it's given my older son and his younger brother definitely a bond that they will always have, that, you know, we didn't know for sure that they would be able to have that. You know, lots of brothers and stuff, yes, they fight like brothers. That's typical, you know.
Right.
But, you know, they actually have something that they do together as a team. They rely on one another, despite Caden being in a wheelchair. And Caden is totally nonverbal with words. He cannot, you know, talk with words. So he relies on just seeing how his brother is smiling and clapping his hands. You know, he's learned to communicate with his brother beyond words.
And so what has that taught you about life? Have you learned lessons from that as well?
Oh, my gosh. I've learned so many lessons. You know, every single day, I think we all as moms, you know, we get so caught up in just life and just the hustle and the bustle and stress. And just a lot of times, you know, people want to sweat the small things. You know, I've learned to just not sweat small things anymore, to live life and look around. And it helps me. They've definitely helped me be able to see the brighter things and definitely look beyond faults and hard times.
And what about how you've impacted the community? Or would there be advice that you've given other parents with cerebral palsy that you've interacted in your community?
Sure. I mean, I'd like to be there for others, other moms, because I'll never forget the day, you know, sitting in the doctor's office when we were given that news. And if I can just help another mom that might be listening to this show right now that, you know, might have gotten some bad news or maybe is facing something so hard in their life, to just know that, you know, there are ways to, you know, battle those feelings that we have in our minds, because sometimes our minds are such battlefields. And that, you know, just take a good look, you know, go on a walk with your child, you know, just look at all the blessings that are there, because they're there, I promise. It just sometimes takes, you know, a little bit more effort to really see those.
Absolutely. And what about your book? What do you think was the biggest challenge in writing your book?
Definitely going back to my past. Nobody wants to go in the past. We're trained to try to, you know, focus and press forward with our future. But I think the biggest part of my book was really digging deep into some really dark times of my past and having to bring those out and put them in words. And that's definitely, I would say, definitely the hardest time. And then even, you know, my oldest son has read the book. And, you know, this book is not, I don't think this, a lot of people are thinking that this book is just totally about the boys racing. And it is. It is a lot about our journey in racing. But it goes back into my past where, you know, I lost a husband, you know, to a motorcycle accident. I married a man in prison. I mean, it's definitely a read that will keep you on your toes, and it's an emotional roller coaster.
Wow. And so has there been, was your son the turning point in your life where you had the courage to look at all of those things? Because those are some pretty heavy things.
They're very heavy. yes, I did. Because I started to learn that, you know, my past is not, it does not define me. You know, it does not define my children. They definitely, you know, show that to the world that my past did not define them, because they did great things. They've accomplished many, many amazing achievements at such a young age. So, right. You know, people should realize that your past does not define you. It does make you who you are when you make it through those hard times. It gives you a lot more character and a lot more wisdom. But it does right. not define you as a bad person.
Well, it's a very good read, and a book that I'm sure everyone who reads it, even if you don't have a child who has a challenge, it has a lesson for you. So thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for sharing some of your story with us. And wow, congratulations on your first book. I know it's like birthing a baby, so congratulations
yes.
on that. And
thank you so much for having me with us.
We have a link to Jenny's book on Mom Talk Radio, so check it out there on momtalk.com. I want to remind you, too, if you like this show, you might want to patronize our sponsor. It's Premama. You can go to drinkpremama.com, where you'll find all of their products. Premama has now expanded from their prenatal vitamin into the infertility and the lactation health of moms. Great product. It's got doctors behind it. Best of all, you don't have to swallow a big old horse pill every time you want to take a prenatal or a lactation vitamin. So check it out at drinkpremama.com and thank them for bringing you Mom Talk Radio. When we return, we're going to tell you how you won't have to pay for ink for your printer for the next 6 months. I was with a dad yesterday who was complaining about the fact that his children print out a lot of coloring sheets and that they were constantly out of ink. And I was happy to be able to tell him about something that I recently heard about called HP Instant Ink. I'm delighted to have with us today Noah Lomax, who's going to tell us a little bit about not only how you will never have that moment again where your child needs homework printed out and you have no ink, to how you can get free ink this holiday season. So welcome, Noah, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks, Maria. It's a pleasure to be here. And it definitely is a problem that many of us have faced, whether it's your kid's homework or something for your own job. You're trying to run out the door and get something printed, and it seems like that is the time where your printer is running low and it runs out of ink. And HP recognized that need, and they developed Instant Ink to help our customers never run out, especially in those times when they need it most.
So how does Instant Ink work?
So Instant Ink works by, first off, it's installed in any web-connected printer, HP printer, and we have a list of eligible printers on our website at instantink.com. And the printer basically monitors your ink usage and sends a signal to us. As soon as it's getting low, we ship new cartridges right to your door along with a pouch for you to recycle your old ones. And then you just plug those new ones in and start printing away.
And so I've heard and I've seen the subscriptions to Instant Ink. It's actually cheaper to subscribe to Instant Ink than it is to go to your local retailer, correct?
That is correct. In fact, it is upwards of 50% cheaper to use Instant Ink than to buy ink traditionally through retailer.
And I know that a lot of moms and dads and families will be getting a printer for the holiday season. Many of those printers that HP are selling actually come with free months of Instant Ink. Can you talk a little bit about that?
That's right. If you, again, check out on our website at ManInCities.com and you were to purchase one of our eligible printers from any of our major retailers, during the setup process, it gives you the option of a free 3-month trial of Instant Ink. However, I have a better offer for you right now through the holidays. If you purchase a printer before December 31st and you subscribe for Instant Ink, you can receive 6 months free with the promo code HOLIDAY15. That's HOLIDAY in all caps.
And so basically you're getting that printer. I've seen those HP printers as low as $89 and $79. I mean, you still have a week to go before the shopping season is over for the holidays. And then you get 6 months of free ink with it. That basically pays for the printer.
Absolutely. Yes, if you were to purchase a printer, I know that a couple of our retailers, Staples and Best Buy, are running major sales right now. So it's running as low as $89.99 for one of the entry-level MV models. And it's a fantastic printer. I've used it. I've been there with you, and we've used it together. So you get great lab-quality photo prints as well as regular 8.5x11, fantastic printer that you'll be very happy with. And, of course, it comes with the Instant Ink, and you can use the 6-month free promo.
Yeah, well, I have to tell you, so I ordered my Christmas cards and I ran out, but with my HP printer, I actually just printed the extra ones on photo paper that came with my printer, and now I can like kind of print on demand, because there's always those one or two people, don't tell them I said this, that I forgot to send a Christmas card to, and you just really don't want to go to the process of going back to the store and picking up another card or going online because they won't get here in time. I literally just now print them on demand on my printer, and I never worry about running out of ink because I hashtag never run out with my HP Instant Ink. Well,
that's
Noah,
right.
Thank you.
#NeverRunOut.
Yeah, hashtag never run out. So, so one more time, give everybody the code for the 6 months of free ink and where they can go to find the printers that have that offer.
Great. You can find the printers at any of our major retailers. I know that the NV5540 is on sale right now at Staples and Best Buy, so it's a great deal there. And then if you're a new Instant Ink user or you're just subscribing, you can use all caps HOLIDAY, then the number 15, for 6 months of free ink. And you can also find a lot of great ideas for you and your family of DIY crafts for the holidays and all year round at MyPrintly.com. You can also find more about Instant Ink there as well.
And we have a link to MyPrintly.com on Mom Talk Radio. Thanks so much, Noah, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Next up, we're going to be talking with Kaylee Wonderland. She is a lifetime enthusiast and has some great videos to share with you.
You succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
So many of your children, while they're out of school, are probably going to spend some time on a screen, whether it's television or an iPad or some kind of wireless device. And our next guest has some tips for teaching kids healthy boundaries for screen time. She's Kaylee Wonderland. She is a digital lifestyle enthusiast. She's created videos on YouTube featuring gadgets, apps, websites, tech hacks, and more. And we are delighted to have her here on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Kaylee.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
There's going to be times over the next probably week and a half when we're busy wrapping gifts and maybe trying to entertain guests and cooking. And our child is going to have a lot of screen time options available. So it's probably a good time to start setting those boundaries, or maybe for the New Year's, that's our resolution. Can you talk about some of the tips you have for teaching kids healthy boundaries for screen time?
Of course. Yes, that's so true. You know, when kids tune into technology, they can become hooked and then they tune out of everything else. So My four tips to help setting healthy boundaries for screen time. Number one, set a time limit. Before you even hand your child the device, let them know exactly how much time they have on that device so there's no argument when the time is up.
That's. Do you use a timer? Like, can this be for all kids of all ages?
It can be. You know, we started using a timer with my stepson when he was about four, and he would watch, you know, just little YouTube videos, and it wasn't much of a fight when the 4 minutes was up, like 4 minutes, 5 minutes was up, we were good to go, and we moved on to the next thing.
There you go. And so another one I see is set rewards. How does that work?
That's right. When your child does something good, like they bring home a good report card or they get a sticker at school that day, go ahead and give them the option to earn screen time on one of their favorite devices, whether it's playing the Wii, watching YouTube Kids, or even playing, you know, just on the iPad.
And then what about, you just mentioned YouTube Kids. What age is it appropriate for your child to be, I guess, surfing YouTube Kids, do you think?
With YouTube Kids, it's great because you can actually speak into it if your child can't type. And then it's actually got, like, privacy settings, so they can't watch anything bad. So YouTube Kids is something I would definitely download. And my one-year-old actually watches YouTube Kids. And so she can't even talk besides mama and dada. So
what
I know
kind
she's not
of things do you
bad.
Right. So what kind of things do you let her watch on YouTube Kids, just out of curiosity, for those that, you know, have a young child?
Yeah, there's like little choo-choo trains going on train tracks. There's they are like blocks with faces on them. And then they just kind of talk. They babble. They say, like, red train, red smoke, green smoke. And it kind of teaches your child the color. You know, like I said, my daughter's one, so she's not quite there, but I'm sure when she's two and three, she'll be happy to repeat whatever they're saying.
Right. Okay. And so then how often do you think your child, is it daily that you allow them to be on, like, for your one-year-old? She's not on there every day, correct?
No, not at all. You know, just every now and then, if I'm cooking dinner or if, you know, we're driving somewhere, she, you know, is talking in the back seat, I'll sometimes hand her my cell phone and it'll just be playing YouTube Kids and she'll just be watching it.
Okay, there you go. And so you have an older child. How do you build up the frequency of being online and watching those kind of videos and dealing with screen time?
We're totally against daily screen time. We don't personally feel that it's healthy for our kids to be on the iPad, the TV every single day. We very much take a break from technology and unplug. We go outside and play. So I would maybe say 3 times a week. I mean, at the max, 4 times a week. But really, we try to do homework. We color. We play outside. But, you know, it would be unrealistic to say that a child doesn't want screen time. They love TV. They love iPad games. And especially my almost 7-year-old stepson, he's in first grade, so he's, you know, exploring with his friends what they're doing, so he wants to do that as well.
Well, you know what's interesting to me is the whole debate about whether an iPad is appropriate in a restaurant at a table, because you have so many, I mean, like, I hear this debate, like, well, what's the difference entertaining them with an iPad and entertaining them with crayons and a placemat to color? What would you say to that in that debate?
You know, truthfully, it's hit or miss. If you go to Chili's automatically has things on the table that you can just pick up and play. Whereas other restaurants, they actually give the child tangible colors and markers and paper to write on. So I would honestly say it depends on the restaurant. It depends on the age of your child. And if you're trying to have family time, we are totally against giving them the iPad. But if it's just, you know, my husband and I are talking and we're having fun, then we don't have a problem letting my stepson play on the iPad. And then, you know, my little one-year-old daughter will sit and watch him. But, you know, if we're trying to have family time, we really try to lock in on family time and ignore devices.
There you go. Well, where can we find out more about you and maybe get into your whole digital lifestyle enthusiasm and watch your videos? Where can we find out more about you?
KellyWonderland.com or YouTube and just Kelly Wonderland.
Okay. And what are we going to find on YouTube when we go there?
You'll find lots of tips and tricks, you know, the newest gadget reviews. I'm currently doing a thermometer review for a baby that just came out. I'm just in the process of doing a whole lot of things. I am a lifestyle enthusiast, so I do talk about everything from how to fold a bed sheet to the latest tech on the market.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And Wonderlin is spelled WONDERLIN, or you can go to momtalkradio.com, where we will have a link to kellywonderlin.com. Thank you so much, Kelly, for joining us. And we'll keep these tips in mind as we go into the holiday season and things get really, really busy and we want to stick our kid in front of a screen. So thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you being here. And, you know, as we go into the holiday season, there's often tricks and tips and hacks. I guess hacks is the new word for tricks and tips. We used to just call them tips, but I was in the elevator the other day and I was showing a young woman how to get the elevator to go straight to the lobby of the hotel rather than stopping on any floor. And she goes, "Oh, that's such a good hack." And I'm like, okay, I guess that's a millennial way to say tip. But as we go into the holiday season, there's plenty of good hacks when it comes to shortcuts that will help you be more ready. And, you know, one of the things that I've been doing for years to help me get ready and to just free up a little bit more time that I can spend with the family is there's always a babysitter in the neighborhood who is looking for extra ways to earn money. And every year I allow my babysitter to just wrap all of my gifts. She comes over to my house and she goes into the bedroom and she does everything that I would do. And she's normally done in an hour or two. Best $15, $20 that I spend all year is employing a teenager to wrap my gifts. So when we come back, we're going to transition from my hacks and tips to our next guest, who's going to be talking about monkey mind tales. Sounds interesting. We're going to find out in just a minute.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
I am excited, ultra surprised and delighted to have with us today, Steve Reedy. He is a man with many talents. He has an undergraduate degree in theater, film, and television from the University of California in LA, and he received a master's in counseling. And now he's got a book, Tales for Your Monkey Minds, which is the first in a series of books launched under his brand, Monkey Mind Tales. So hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Monkey Minds. I don't even know where to go with that.
Oh, the book is Tales for Your Monkey's Mind. And I came up with the idea. I've studied a lot of Buddhism, and there's a whole concept about the human monkey mind and the way it thinks and perceives reality. So I thought that that would be a great title for the book. And it's Tales for Your Monkey's Mind. So it's actually for your children's mind.
Who's the target of the book?
Well, originally I had targeted at children, probably between the ages of 7 and up, but I've had children between the ages of 5 and adults up to 90 who have actually really enjoyed the book. So it's kind of like a children's book for adults.
And so tell me about the content. What's the storyline and the themes in it?
Well, the book has 6 stories in it, and each story has a different theme. Each story looks at a main character who lives in a town, and the town has an issue, whether it be they have an issue with the transition between childhood and adulthood, or they have an issue with their appearance, or they have an issue with death, or they have an issue with having lost themselves because they're more interested in something like a magical storybook than they are actually having and creating stories with each other and love. There's several different themes, but the child goes through the story, and at the end of the story, the child leaves with kind of a different perception of life. So I think that's why adults are liking it too, because it goes and looks at the inner child as well as just childhood and what's happened to us when we were children and how that continues to affect us in our adulthood.
You did something. It makes absolutely good sense. So you did something unusual and you illustrated it in black and white. Why did you do that?
Well, honestly, I loved Shel Silverstein when I was growing up, Where the Sidewalk Ends and A Light in the Attic. And I was trying to come up with a style that would be different from all the other styles out there, especially now that we have computer graphics. So I was trying to make it timeless. So I went through like four different illustrators until I finally found someone that kind of got the idea of what I wanted. I wanted line-drawn art that would look timeless and be memorable and very detailed also at the same time.
Well, so the illustrations, what were you trying to achieve through them as far as like the themes that go along with them?
The illustrations, they're scattered throughout the book. So it's not like a children's picture book. It's more like you'd see in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, where they do go along with the story. But at the same time, my illustrator was able to pull things out of the story that I never even imagined. So they actually enhanced the story. There's one of the Toy Factory, which I think we went through five different versions of it until we finally got what we wanted. But it turned out absolutely amazing. And there's another one for a story called Clown Town, where you actually get to see the downtown area of this town called Clown Town. And again, the illustration that he came up with went far beyond whatever I've ever imagined it could be. So my illustrator actually enhanced the book with his illustrations rather than just trying to copy down what I created in my imagination.
So you said earlier that it's a series of books under the brand of Monkey Mind Tales. What do you have in store for the future?
Actually, I have my illustrators illustrating the second book, which is called More Tales for Your Monkey's Mind, which has six new stories that look at concepts of nutrition, time, perceptions of reality, and so on. The third book is being edited, and it's full of magical creatures, and it's a little bit more imaginative than the first two. And the fourth book I'm actually just about done with, and it takes a look at actually Christmas. It's called Tales for Tra-La-La Day. And I created my own holiday, and then I did to it what we did to Christmas. And it's actually turning out pretty good. I'm very happy with it. So
wow,
I don't
that's amazing.
It's going to keep going, but I got four going right now.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm not even going to ask you where you find the time to do all that. But can you tell us?
I don't go out
almost
much.
There you go. You don't have a social life. But
no,
you've got
not too much,
great books. So can you tell us before we're out of time where we can find them?
I have the books are available if you want a signed copy. On my website, monkeymindtales.com, T-A-L-E-S. It's also available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and a few others that I don't remember the names of. But, yeah, it's out there. It's not available in bookstores yet, but I'm hoping in the future that it will be.
Well, it sounds like it will with as committed as you are to this. Thank you very much. And we have a link to monkeymindtales.com on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to be talking with one more author who has brought us great books like the I Love You book and the Earth book. I am excited to have with us an author of more than 30 books for children, and many of them are included on the New York Times bestseller list. He is Todd Parr. He is the author of the I Love You book, which I have read multiple times to my children, the Earth book, and the Thankful book. He lives in Berkeley, California, where a lot of amazing and interesting things happen. And I'm delighted that he has decided to share some of his time with Mom Talk Radio today. So hello, Todd, welcome to Mom Talk.
Thank you. Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you because you've written so many great books. I'm kind of wondering what's going on these days with you and what kind of books are coming down the pike.
Well, the newest one that's just out in November, the Goodbye book, was a really long one for me because I've been thinking about it for years, how to touch upon this topic of saying goodbye without being specific to anything. So when it finally hit me after years, I couldn't wait for this book to come out. And so So now it's out, and then next year I have in April called Teachers Rock, and that mm-hmm. just turned out amazing because it was just celebrating teachers and all the good that they do, but I kept it real, like what they deal with every day, and then, you know, also made it fun for going to school. So I'm really excited about that one, and there's three more down the road
wow.
for that. I did It's Okay to Be Different in 2001, and towards the end of next year, the kind of the current version of It's Okay to Be Different is going to be called Be Who You Are. So I'm excited about what I have, what I've done and what's coming up.
Well, I love your books, and I'm just wondering, it seems like everybody kind of has a book, a child's book in them, or they aspire to write one. Where do you come up with your ideas? And I mean, the fact that you said it took you a long time to write this, they're so good that it seems like it shouldn't take a long time, but why does it?
You know, I think the thing with me, and I've learned to embrace this, is when I started out, I was a struggling artist. That's what I wanted to do, was art. I was putting messages on my artwork. It wasn't kids publishing that I even thought about. I was probably, because I was intimidated by the whole fact of writing, and you know, through, you know, a lucky break and being able to experiment with putting messages on my art, I learned to kind of tell a story in a non-traditional way, and it wasn't, you know, embraced right away as, you know, what are these books? And, you know, I didn't know anything else. And I think, you know, in the very beginning, somebody had said at one of my first book signings at FAO Schwartz in New York that their family was there. They actually thought that I had a six-year-old that did the illustrations for these books. And I went, oh, no, this isn't good. But now I've come to embrace that because, you know, kids immediately, they look at my work, they think they can, you know, they can draw just like me. I encourage it. I ask them, how many think you can draw better than me? Everyone, raise your hands. And, uh-huh. you know, it allows me the ability now to touch upon some of these things that are kind of complicated, like peace and the earth and saying goodbye in this very simplistic way. And, you know, it's like my art style, it's evolved as far as, you know, I'm concerned, but to other people, it would be, you know, you didn't come very far from, you know, where you were at. But for me, I mean, I'm speaking from the heart in everything I write about. So that's easy. I'm not trying to be somebody I'm not. My art style is who I am. So all of that just kind of flows for me really easy. And then that, now I think about, you know, being specific. How can I help make a difference? You know, write a book about mistakes, because kids are afraid to make mistakes. They're not taking chances and they're not learning. And so, you know, there just seems like an endless amount of things. And unfortunately, in our world today, things are just getting more and more complicated, that there's so much
absolutely
to be able to help kids.
Well, I want to let everyone know that the book is out. It's awesome. We have a link to your latest book, Todd, on Mom Talk Radio. And I want to thank you so much for joining us today on the show. And I want to thank you for joining us. We're inside of a few days till the holiday season. I guess I should say Merry Christmas tonight, because we won't get to talk to you until after the holiday. So Merry Christmas to everyone. I hope that Santa brings you everything that you want. And I'm looking forward to bringing in 2016 with you here on Mom Talk Radio. I'm Maria Bailey, and hope you have a great holiday season.